All this week, the money chairs at the state legislature have been holding budget briefings as they prepare for the new session, which is to begin next Wednesday. We talked to Representative Sylvia Luke earlier this week about the economic outlook. The House Finance Chair is preparing that our recovery will now stretch through 2024. Yes, you heard right, 2024.
The budget issue and economic recovery remain as one of top of mind issues. In addition to continuing our efforts for health and safety for our communities, it is a big concern only because we do not see tourism and other economic drivers rebounding quickly. What that means is the road to recovery will take years. And just to kind of give you a point of reference, we won't get to the 2019 pre-COVID revenue intake until 2024. But if you can imagine, in 2024, the amount of cost of items and personnel would have increased just through inflation, right? So in just kind of thinking about the fact that we won't get the same amount of revenues coming in until, you know, 5 years later, basically, from 2019, this will have devastating impact on services and programs and things that government can provide.
So it's very sobering. There's the short term and there's the long term. There's talks of furloughs and layoffs.
Right. There is this general inclination that potential, you know, tax increases or even furloughs will fix the problem. It will not. If you think about the current budget situation, even with the Council on Revenues providing a better projection, the budget that we are looking at for the next 2 years, we still need to plug about, you know, $1.7 billion of revenues. Even if we were to eliminate pretty much all of the Department of Education, it doesn't come close to the potential revenue loss. So that kind of tells you the amount of reduction that we need to do. And it is, as you recognize, as we're going through and listening to the budget briefings by the department, it is very sobering and sad at the same time, because we're hearing about reduction in certain programs, like programs for sex assault victims, programs in Hawaii Civil Rights Commission, certain Department of Health things, and, you know, you're hearing, like, one by one all the things that we have to cut, like Land Use Commission. You know, every department that we have heard so far, there's somebody out there going, okay, no, this is drastic. So hopefully, you know, and they're advocating to retain that department or retain that agency fully, but that comes at the price of cutting something else. So, you know, we're basically stuck in very difficult position.
We just talked to the labor director, Anastacio, and, you know, she was saying, yeah, that all the department heads have been told to look at, you know, 20% cuts.
Correct.
And how do you deal with all the other programs that, you know, labor is charged with, you know? I mean, I know unemployment comes from a different fund, but there's just so many things in the workforce picture that we rely on staff there at the Labor Department. And, you know, you were there at the convention center stepping up to help process those claims.
Right, right. And, you know, Department of Labor is a good example. They provide grants for retraining. So during this time, Yuhiro said we lost about 100,000 jobs. Those individuals may never return to the sector that they were working in. So they're going to need training or some kind of workforce development. As far as we know, the budget substantially eliminates certain grants for workforce training and eliminate grants. So these are grants to communities and organizations. And the other thing that Department of Labor provides is they also provide grants for immigrant services, legal representation for the immigrant population. I mean, for the time being, a substantial cut in these programs is going to have major impact. And people think, okay, if you're cutting government, it's basically government services. It's actually government services that provide assistance to nonprofits and organization and grants and contracts to those organizations that impact services. So it's not just government, you know, workers that are impacted. It's all the related programs that stem from government contracts and grants.
Well, I think as an example Estacio gave was that, you know, if we have fewer people to process these grants, we may have to apply for fewer grants.
Right, and then which will lead to loss of federal monies. Overlaid on top of that, the budget that we're anticipating or currently working on is taking into account all the money that we're currently borrowing to pay for people's unemployment claims. So you probably heard by now the unemployment trust fund has been depleted by June. That account had $500 million. That's all gone. So far from July to December, we borrowed about $700 million. That needs to be paid in full in November of 2022. But that's only for 6 months. So can you imagine from January to whenever it is, you know, we will continue to borrow to pay for people's unemployment claims. And I think some people think that this money is being funded through the federal government or some other sources. Actually, you know, this money is that something that the state is borrowing that will have to be paid out of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, so any money, any leftover money that didn't get spent, any CARES money, was to go into that fund, the labor fund, right. Unemployment fund, but that's really just a drop in the bucket.
Right, compared to how much money we're borrowing and how much money we will potentially borrow for the duration of this pandemic. We are taking major steps to restructure. So for instance, we're going through every agency and we're looking at if certain agency is working at, you know, 70% capacity or 60% capacity, does it make sense for that agency to continue at this point? Or we are looking at if they cannot, is it an essential service that can be combined with other agencies? So this is going to be a very drastic and painful approach, but that's something that we need to do. So we are looking at government restructuring where we need to combine resources, combine personnel to get some of the work done. The reality is on a normal session, a lot of the bills are money related, but as you can imagine, we're not in a position to give out tax exemptions or tax credits or appropriate money for new programs or even existing programs. So I think that in itself will eliminate a lot of the bills because, you know, if it's a bill that is requesting for, you know, even $300,000, it's $300,000 that we have to get from somewhere else.
So what message do you want to send to the mayors when they come begging, you know, for their share of the hotel room tax, which we don't have a lot of?
Yeah. So the hotel room tax is one tax that has been reduced by 95%. So, you know, income tax has still been somewhat stable and GET has been reduced, but not to the extent that TAT has. I think this is an opportunity for us to restructure TAT and look at what is TAT going for right now and think about just because that's how it was done for decades, it may not be what we want to do. And this is an opportunity for us to not just reshape tourism, but reshape the tourism industry itself, right? So what type of tourists do we want coming to Hawaii? How do we leverage tourist dollars and tourist spending and maximize those things? So I think those are the conversation that's already started, and we will continue to have those conversations. It is going to be a tough road, and I think the faster we can get the vaccines out and, you know, we stabilize the health and safety of our community, the faster we can get to a road to recovery for our economic health as well. So it will be challenging not just for this year, but the next several years as we you know, continue to restructure.
Do you think it's going to be easier because, you know, you did a couple of years ago start taking people to task about, you know, department heads, about their departments and, you know, their mission, you know, so you started that process.
It's interesting that you said that because the work that we have put in place several years ago by, you know, looking at curtailing special funds, you know, vacancies, doing some of these true budgeting has really helped us prepare for what we are dealing with now. And the fact that, you know, I mean, after I took over as finance chair, we were able to put in close to $400 million in rainy day. Prior to that, you know, it barely had about $20 million. So that really helped to set the groundwork and ease the pain of some of the things that we're about to do.
That was House Finance Chair Sylvia Luke talking about our economic recovery. We plan to hear from the Senate Money Chair, Donovan Dela Cruz, tomorrow on his take on the recovery plan and the proposed state budget.